The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching, and they said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you that authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Well, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." The first son answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and he went. The father went to the second son and said the same. And the second son answered, "Oh, I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And the chief priests and elders said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this week we've suddenly moved a great step forward in Jesus' journey to Jerusalem. In fact, as we meet him in Jerusalem now, he's in the temple complex teaching people. He has already had his triumphant entry into Jerusalem for the last time on that day that we referred to as Palm Sunday. He came as a returning victorious king. He also has come to the temple once before, and he threw out the money changers. And now the chief priests and the elders confront him as he's teaching. He's no longer sparring with the Pharisees in Galilee and around Judea. Now the highest religious authorities who acquired their power from being descended from the first priests of God called to serve the Israelites millennia before, and from the Roman government that has agreed to allow them to serve in Jerusalem. They ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" In their society, a man received his authority to carry out his work by birth, as the priests and the elders had. Jesus wasn't born a rabbi, as far as they and the public could tell. He clearly had had the support of the people on Sunday, but in the opinion of the temple leaders, Jesus wasn't the king that the public had welcomed into Jerusalem. His birth didn't give him the power to teach, to preach, to heal, to determine how things would be done in the temple. That was their role. And they needed to do what they could to keep the peace in Jerusalem so that the Romans wouldn't bring even more oppressive force to bear on the people of Judea. So they challenged him. Of course, Jesus could have answered, "God, my Father, gave me the authority." But he knew that the temple leaders wouldn't accept this answer. They'd find it blasphemous. They'd say he was taking God's name in vain. So Jesus engaged in the verbal jousting that we heard in today's gospel reading. He challenged them with the question about John's authority, and he caught them in their lie of omission when they answered, "We don't know." Authority is at the heart of this portion of scripture. Authority also is at the heart of the demonstrations opposing police violence against people of color that have been held throughout this spring, summer, and now into the fall. Authority is at the heart of the decisions of grand juries around the country after the killings of Black men and women by police in various scenarios. Authority is at the heart of President Trump's nomination of a Supreme Court justice to fill the position held by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Authority is at the heart of the Senate leadership's intent to move forward to approve that nomination quickly, only 5 weeks before the presidential election, when 4 years ago, those same leaders refused to act on President Obama's nominee to the court, claiming that it was too close to the presidential election that time, which was then 8 months away. Jesus responded to the chief priests and the elders' hypocrisy in claiming not to know the source of John's authority to preach repentance with the parable of the two sons. It's quite straightforward. Dad asked his sons to work in the vineyard. One refused, but then he did go and work. The other agreed to work, but then he failed to do so. Most of us would probably agree with the saying that actions speak louder than words. So we'd also agree with the chief priests and the elders that the first son, although rude, is the one who did the will of the Father. We don't know what motivated either son to speak and act as he did. We often don't know what motivates many of the people we meet, those we live with in our communities, those in our extended families. We don't know what motivates people to come or not to come to church services. We don't know what motivates one person to spend money in one way and another in another way. We don't know what collection of experiences shapes the religious and political beliefs of people. We don't know why a couple who are friends of ours may be struggling in their marriage. Why one person always seems to have nothing but complaints and someone else is so unfailingly gracious. We just don't know these things. We may guess, just as we may guess about our questions related to the parable and its characters. We may make assumptions and judgments, but ultimately we don't know. And that gives rise to a bit of caution on our part, if not humility, when we make judgments. I suspect that we are headed for more disagreement about apparent authority in our country in the weeks and months to come. Of course, I can't know the outcome, but I pray God's leading and guiding of all of the players so that we will do God's will, whatever God's will is. I pray also that the people of this country will take part in the election, even if they are not excited about the candidates, so that we can have a clear expression of the will of the people after the election, which I hope also is obedient to God's will for us. We hear from Ezekiel that God was doing a new thing contrary to the promise God's people had received through Moses in the wilderness in God's commandments for life. The old law, what we call the Ten Commandments, told the people, among other things, that the effects of the sins of parents would be experienced by their descendants to the third and fourth generation. Now, Ezekiel proclaimed the word of the Lord. People would be held responsible for only their own sins, not those of their ancestors. And more than that, when the wicked shall turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. This sounds very much like the repentance that Jesus and John preached, doesn't it? There is hope for us, for our society, like there was hope for the first son, who initially refused to work in the vineyard, but in the end changed his mind and was obedient to the father. The other son became a hypocrite when he failed to work after having said that he would do so. So no matter what may have happened in the past, God is eager to meet us in the present and to offer us an open future. It's not too late. God is here inviting each of us into the kingdom and to lives on earth that open before us to be lived in love and obedience. So we might look inside ourselves for those things that are holding us back from receiving God's promises. What things do we hold on to that make it difficult to believe and to accept God's forgiveness, that make it difficult for us to imagine that the future can be different from the past? How do we prepare ourselves for this future that God offers? Well, we have the role model for that part of our existence as well. As Paul explained to the Philippians, we are to have the mind of Jesus Christ. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Of course, again, this is easier said than done, but we have the model for this life and we can strive to follow Jesus, the model. And when we realize that we've gone astray, sometimes with the guiding help of our sisters and brothers in Christ, we can pull back, we can turn around, we can make amends, and we can live a new life in Christ. This is true no matter what happens in the Supreme Court and no matter what happens in the presidential election, because first and foremost, we are God's. Let's pray. You love us completely, Lord. You love us into imitating you, to having your mind so that we can live in your realm, heaven on earth. It often feels like anything but that to us, Lord, here on earth. But your presence here on earth opened the way to change all that. Keep our minds engaged with yours. Keep our hearts open to the power of your love in life. In your name we pray. Amen.